This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. Great to have you with us today on this Thursday. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3, The Fan, joined by two-time Stanley Cup champion Craig Ludwig. How are you, my friend?
I am very good, Gavin. How's it going with you?
All right, so let me ask you this. At this point of the NHL season as a former player, did the legs get tired or did they get fired up knowing that the playoffs were right around the corner?
I would say, especially where if you're the Dallas Stars or Colorado or Minnesota, there's no excuses for not being at your highest level. There's nothing in stone. You don't want to, typically you would love to finish first in your, in your division. You don't want to start on the road. So I think if you're the Boston Bruins, I think as a coach, that's a little bit more challenging, even though then that always goes down to your core group of guys. But I think when there's something on the line every single day, it shouldn't be that hard to motivate your players. And I think that, typically by now, exactly what your team is, who your players are. And I'm sure there are some coaches, Rick Bonus being one, maybe in Winnipeg, that's concerned where his team is at. Paul Maurice in Florida, some of those teams that they expected a lot. And with Winnipeg kind of sat near the top of the standings for a good portion of the year, now they're teetering on not making the playoffs. There's a little bit more concern, same from the players, but I think when you're in the hunt, it's just another day of working and, trying to get yourselves in a good spot for the start of playoffs.
So Minnesota goes into Colorado last night, massive win for the Wild, and they just continue to roll. They're on top of the Central Division, 3 points up on Colorado, as well as the Stars. Stars technically move into second place, but clearly Saturday night's game against the Avalanche will be, I don't want to say the difference maker, but will have a great impact on who finishes second, who finishes third, or who finishes first. But I wanted to ask you, because I talked to Joe O'Donnell, the voice of the Wild, the other day, and we were talking about what was making the Wild so special. And you have a relationship with Billy Guerin. He's done a great job there as GM, just kind of rebuilding the team, what he thinks is the right way to go. And they're doing this with Kaprizov. In your career, was there ever a time where one of your top scorers or a star on the team went out, everyone steps up, playing well, and how tough is it for that person to get? I'm not saying that they won't be back. Obviously Kaprizov gets inserted right in, but does it change the roles?
I don't think that's the one thing you don't want, is want players to step outside of who they are. I mean, I think when that happens, guys may tend to do a little bit too much and try a little too hard. I think that's the beauty of having a team. And I mean, you mentioned Billy, you just look at Billy Guerin has pieced his team together very similar to a lot of the teams that and how I was used to being part of Montreal, Dallas, Billy being part of some Stanley Cup winners too. There's a difference in the regular season and the playoffs. And I've never understood, and we've talked about this, how teams don't want to play your 82 games the same way you're going to play game 83 when you get the playoffs. And so what Billy has done is, one of his moves early was to bring in a defenseman, Middleton, Then he goes out and gets Ryan Reeves.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the Kaprizov injury, I mean, this team hasn't lost a regulation game in 21 games.
I know. It's amazing.
Well, they're, you know, they, but the Kaprizov thing, I would imagine everybody in Minnesota, inside the organization, were going, uh-oh. And because prior to that, the only guy that was scoring for Minnesota was Kaprizov. And when that guy goes down, you're going, all the moves, all the direction that we're trying to move this thing into the playoffs, now we got a scratch and claw. But what happened, and I'm sure, you know, and again, I think if you're the coaching staff, if you're especially Billy Guerin, your answer is going to be, oh, I knew our guys could step up. Well, I don't know if you know, now they'd be easy to say that. But the good news is they've done all of this without their best player in the lineup. And so your only fear, I would say, is because they were leaning on him so much yep. for the majority of the whole season prior to him getting hurt. The only fear is like, Kirill's back. All right. You know, and that's now, and I promise you that there's internal conversations about this going on. Like whenever he's going to be back in the lineup, this is only going to make us a better team. We stay on the track that we're on. Now we insert or reinsert our biggest weapon and we should be this much better. You know, we should be, instead of being a 18-1 favorite to win the cup or whatever they may be, that should just catapult them up. And it doesn't really matter what's being said on the outside of the room. It's how everybody thinks on inside the room. And that's all they really care. And I'm going to tell you with guys like Guerin and Dean Evanson, and I don't know if you got to watch that whole game last night or you did, but that's a regular season game. Yeah, they're all important at this time of the year. But Dean Evanson, the head coach of the Wild, looked like he just won the yeah. third round going to the finals. That just shows you the fire that him and his coaching staff and how they feel about this team right now. So everything's on track for the Wild. So they feel good about themselves. And but, you know, it's funny. I had Mike Modano on the podcast yesterday, and we were talking about – I kind of finished it asking him about Kaprizov, and he's just, you know, he's got so many great things. And coming from a guy like Modano talking about another player like Kirill, you know, it's genuine and you know, the guy's legit. And we all know he's legit, but you know, I don't know if it could happen at a better time for this team. And, you know, being this close to playoffs, is this not going to be like a trade deadline blockbuster deal?
Well, that's interesting you mentioned that, because at the trade deadline, they picked up Gustav Nyquist, who might be available for the playoffs. And that's another interesting insertion.
Well, I think, you know, let's look close to home. I mean, Jim Neal has done some of the similar things. I mean, you look at some of the subtle moves that he picked up, and I'll start with, you know, Colin Miller. I really like what Colin Miller, I'm not going to say he's a top two defenseman, but I like what he brings to the table.
Yeah.
When they went out and got Luke Glendening, you know what he brings to the table. Marchment, you know, I know he hasn't had the offensive year and a couple injuries here and there, but I think that when Jim picked up the guys that he did for the Stars team, he had in mind, I'm making a certain team for the playoffs. You know, we're a good team. I'm going to add some things on the fringe. And that's why, you know, you get to the trade deadline. And we talked about that, you know, like, you know, to add Max. I mean, I think it's a good move. And the thing is, it's like Max Domi, there's a reason he's been on, I don't, what is it? Five or six teams now?
Five teams. Short,
right. I mean, he looked great in game one. Yeah. I mean, he looked great and he still is. And it's the fact of him, you know, continuing to be that guy, because if he can and Marchman gets back but what I think these GMs are doing is they're going, okay, now it's time to tweak and add a piece here and a piece there. That's going to help us when we get to, you need glue guys when you get to the playoffs. You have your top guys, you got Joe and Hintz and, you know, I mean, and Robo, you have those guys, but it's a different game. And sometimes those glue guys send a message and drag the high end guys into the fight, because it's not playoffs aren't where you just kind of tap dance through, you know, 7 games in 14 days. And you got to be able to watch some of these kind of guys dig in and play and leave everything out there every game. And there's things that you have to fight through. Things are going to get tougher on your top players. They always do. And the ones that can fight through all that, generally they're the ones that they'll be part of the group that wins that particular round.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, Dodonov's been special, and I don't know if it was because he fit in Pete DeBoer's system prior, but that line of Johnston, Ben, and Dodonov has been really, really good.
Well, don't underestimate how much Jamie Benn drives that line, and
yeah,
I know
true.
He's not the fastest guy on there. Dodonov is Dodonov to me will be a guy. Let's see what he does in the playoffs because yeah. It's over the course of those 14 days I speak about. Teams get dialed in on certain players and they know how to, they'll be coaches, there'll be meetings, and they'll talk about key players from their opponent. And this is how we push them out of the fight. We're going to push them out of the game. We're going to make them non-existent, or it's going to be difficult for them to do what they want. The case in Dodonov may be, though, he may just want to prove that he is a lot better than he's been, man, that poor kid. I mean, well, he's not a kid. He's 30-some years old. But, you know, he had the thing that happened in Vegas and, you know, all this other kind of stuff where he's getting shuffled off and maybe that's just enough to for him to fight through a playoff atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to ask you, Stars clearly in control against the Blackhawks the other night. Time winding down.
That was hard to watch.
The Ty Dillandria fight?
No,
oh, the
no,
game?
No.
Yeah, I thought,
I mean, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you look at the score and I guess on the surface you say Stars handled the business. I thought they did not play well in that first period.
But those are hard games to play in.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you. Why is it hard to play in those situations?
Well, because everybody knows the situation that Chicago was in. I mean, Chicago's in the race for Connor Bedard. That's the only trophy they're trying to win right now. And, you know, and Columbus and, you know, there's 3-4 teams that are in that race and they're trying to change their image in Chicago and they're trying to change a lot of things. And, you know, they Jonathan Toews, I mean, now it's, you know, is he done there now too, which that's what it seems like, you know, their two pillars are out of the lineup in Kane, Toews, there's nothing left there. And I mean, I look at that goalie, I look at Stalock and it was about 2 weeks ago. I'm sitting with our goalie coach, Billy Pye, for the Dallas Stars Elite Kid program and stuff like that. And I'm like, holy shit, Billy, look at who do they got in net? I mean, he's flopping around and all this other stuff. And Stalock to me was a good goalie. I'm like, okay, this is just a product of what's going on in front of him because he doesn't even look put together at times. So, but I think you come in, and those are some of the hardest games to play in. When you know what's going on, you're in a playoff push and you talk to yourselves, it doesn't matter what that jersey looks like. It doesn't matter what city we're in. We're going to play our game. We're 15 games, we're 10 games, we're 8 games from, you know, being playoff ready. We play our game. But trust me, there's something in your head. When you, every player goes in, they grab a stats pack. They go through all the stats. They read it. I mean, you got 2.5 hours for a game. You got to kill time somehow. I didn't go about it that way. I'd get more nervous and scared when I looked up lineups, the other teams that I'd have to be on the ice against some of these guys. But they all know, and they're going, who's this guy? who's that guy? Who's this guy? And then they start reading, okay, well, he just got called up a few days ago. You know what I mean? It's that kind of stuff. It's very different than going in and playing against Crosby and Malkin and you know, Tarasenko and all these kind of guys. Yep. So, but again, the coaches will always tell you it's about our game. That's how they try to sell it. They got to find, and they coaches know it. Like, man, what are we going to get tonight? You know, they know that they can give a 75% effort and win this hockey game. But then you got to say, listen, this is about where we're getting, trying to get to, and we're going to be playing our best hockey when game 83 comes around. So they're tough games to play in, but man, that's a hard game to watch.
Yeah.
For me. And as a matter of fact, I think I turned it off. I turned the channel to a different game just into the third period.
And I don't blame Chicago. I mean, they got good draft assets. And at the same time, I mean, everything I've seen from Connor Bedard, I think that's definitely worth tanking for the best lottery chances. So, but I wanted to ask you about the Ty Dellandrea fight at the end. As a person who's dropped the mitts before, we don't know what happened on the ice, but clearly Dellandrea wanted that fight. And I wanted to ask you, because, you know, he left the ice with a bloody nose. Is that in the best interest of the Stars? How does that affect him in the room? Or is this simply, we don't know what happened, so we can't judge at this point? Because would a vet have taken that fight?
It's Ty Dellandrea. That's part of what we call, you know, again, back to our players here, the younger kids for any group, we have things called calling cards. And we ask a player to put three things that you bring to the team. What do you bring to the game every single night? Who are you? And it doesn't mean they're always going to be right. And we may want to change one thing or not, or add something to it. But, and then at the end of the game, we want them to pull that card out, look at it. Did you accomplish? Did you do all those things? Did you do two of those things? Did you do one of them? Did you do all three? Because if you didn't all three, you didn't bring your best part to the game. That's Ty Dellandrea. Regardless of when, why, who you're playing against, that is part of who Ty Dellandrea is. He's not going to guy go out and fight. Again, I've used a comparison, and it's probably unfair to him this early in his career, to Brendan Morrow. And, you know, Brendan Morrow only knew one way to play. It didn't matter who you were playing. It didn't matter the score. It didn't matter the period. It was, you know, he's on goal the whole game. And that's all you can ask from a player. So he's a tough kid. I think we've seen that. He brings the energy every night. He's not afraid to go to the front of the net. He digs in. When you play against a player like Dellandrea, you take note. You know, as an opponent, what you're going to get from that kind of a player every night. I mean, he's accountable, and he knows that is, you know, like I said, he may get in one fight every 10 games or 8 games, but you always know he's ready to go if he has to, and he'll stand up for a teammate, for himself. And, you know, and again, that sometimes in games, those things happen early when your team's not going. Sometimes in games it happens when you go, hey, we got another game coming up and we're not playing the right way. I'm not getting in his head. I don't know what he was, you know, what happened there, but I think you just appreciate it. All you can do is appreciate that kind of player.
Mm-hmm. Was there a player that was like a Dellandrea or like one of the Tkachuk sons that you were like, all right, this guy's going to be a pain in the neck on the ice tonight?
Well, you mean that I played with, yeah, or in general? I mean, you mentioned one earlier. I never played one, but Bill Guerin. That was Bill Guerin.
Yeah.
That's the way Billy Guerin played. And that, see, you know, a lot of GMs kind of, they build their teams and they take on their personality. And why not with what Guerin's doing? Because he's won Stanley Cups the way that he played. Teams went out and got him because of the way he played. But, you know, again, Brendan Morrow is the closest guy that I can come up with.
Okay.
You know, I mean, because I can name Shane Chirla and I can name, right, Chris Nyland. I can name a bunch of those guys, but were they 20, 25 or potentially 20, 25 goal scorers?
Yeah.
No, but it was a different era and everybody kind of had a different kind of a role. You know, I mean,
well, I know he didn't have big energy, but what about Doug Weight?
Doug Weight as a fighter?
No. I'm just saying, like, as one of those guys. I mean, you talk about Bill Guerin, and you know, if we focus on net presence, I just always felt as though Doug Weight was like a immovable object in front of the net.
Who did you try to talk me? You met somebody up last week too that I thought you were.
I'm just bringing up names. Do you not want me to bring up names? I won't bring it. All right, back to Bill Guerin. Back to
Brendan Morrow.
I'm
not,
just saying.
Yeah, he wasn't. I was kind of looking at a. I thought you were going to come up with a Brendan Morrow type of player. A Dougie Waite.
Okay.
Probably. Waite was a very. He's a skilled. He loved to score goals.
Jordan Tutu. How about that?
Oh, for crying out loud!
What he was? Jordan, he was an energetic player that liked
to
muck it up.
He wasn't a 30 goal scorer. I'm just saying. I'm looking at players that pay the price in front of the net. They'll fight for their teammates. They'll fight for themselves. They understand that the game is going sideways and they'll go fight just to kind of, you know, change the momentum and the tone of your own team. That wasn't really Doug Waite. And Jordan Tutu, God bless that guy. I mean, he there was nobody he was afraid of, but I don't put him in the category of a 20 to 30 goal scorer, you know, at the time.
I will no longer bring up examples on this
maybe
podcast.
Maybe between now and next week, or God forbid I answer the phone next week and we have to do this again, you'll come up with a better example for whatever you're talking about.
Antoine Roussel.
Okay.
not a 20, 25 goal scorer, but did like to get.
But the problem that I have with Roos, and I've talked to him about this stuff, is it got a little out of control at times. There were times at the end of a game that, and this is speaking of if you were a teammate, like there were times at the end of games, and games are out of, you're down by 4 goals, there's a minute to go in the game, and you want to take a 10-minute penalty. You know, just to pad the stats on that side of things. So that's the only downside I've had of Roos. Cause I mean, I don't think anybody expected him to be a 15 to 20 goal scorer.
Right.
But it ends up being, you know, a gimmick. Well, who's the guy that we had here that was jumping around in front of Brodeur?
Sean Avery.
That could have been – that was Hulley, I think, that wanted to bring him.
Yeah, because they lived together when Avery was a rookie in Detroit.
Yeah, he should have put him out in the cold and at about 3 o'clock in the morning when he was living in the show.
He was good for the L.A. Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wayne Simmons. That's a good one. Wayne Simmons.
Okay, there you go. That's a good one.
Thank Wayne you. Simmons. Took me 7 tries.
Yes. Yeah, that's a very good comparison.
Yes.
You know – And the thing is Wayne looks like a big guy. He is a big guy. He's a strong guy, but actually he's not that big of a guy. He's big and wiry, but he'll fight anybody. He'll change the tone of games. He understands, you know, that's a veteran kind of guy. So, you know, and again, I know that the similarities in size and the weight and all that kind of stuff isn't there with Delandria, but that's why for some reason I always gravitate to Brendan Morrow. And man, if he could turn into a Brendan Morrow, which I think everybody would hope so, he's going to have a hell of a career. Wayne Simmons is a better guy. You know, he's a 20 to 25 goal scorer. And the way that he scored a lot of his goals is nobody wanted to confront him when he was in front of the net. I mean, he went there to fight for space, literally and figuratively, at times, and you knew what was going to happen when you played against that kind of guy. So he created his own kind of space. And then on top of it, he had a pretty good set of hands as far as finishing the goals.
And in the final minute, it's opening day today. It's always a really cool day here in DFW and around the country. I wanted to ask you, for hockey's sake, was opening day different for you? Opening night, I should say. Was there more juice in the legs? Were there more nerves?
I think like everything else, it's just, I mean, obviously as a rookie, yes, but no.
Okay.
I think the older that you got, or even you get 3, 4, 5 years down the road, you're going, oh man, there's 81 games after this one. You know what I mean? Because, because you're always looking forward to the playoffs. And I think that, I think if there was a marker, like I said, it was always like the halfway point of the season, and you knew that, you know, half of the season was in the rearview mirror. You're starting to look up towards playoff time, and then you'd get in between that 20 and 15 game mark, where you're kind of mentally and you're really focused on the start of playoffs, you know, and positioning and things like that.
Former Dallas Star traded to Calgary, Jerome Iginla. That's a pretty good example. could score, wanted to drop the gloves.
But now,
energy.
Now you've gone to a Hall of Famer.
I have. You're right. You're
again.
Right.
You're putting some high expectations on Ty Dellandrea right now.
Oh man, I always feel so good on Mondays and Fridays when I do this podcast. I'm like, all right, we're dropping some serious knowledge. And then when I do this with you,
I don't
feel
know
like
why
you
got to keep screwing around with different guys to compare. I gave you the best one, Brendan Morrow. If he can turn into a Brendan Morrow,
all right.
I mean. There you go.
No, I like that. That's great. I agree. Same number. Let's do it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You the man, Craig. I love you. I know you won't say it back. And thanks, as always, for joining us on Spits and Suds. Give a plug to your podcast real quick.
What about my podcast?
Well, you don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to plug it. Okay.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna talk about it, but you're gonna take the "I love you" part out as soon as we're off. You can go in there and edit that part out.
Nope.
So, this week I had Mo on. He was great. Had Mike on yesterday. It went kind of long. We went about an hour and a half, but Mo's always good. You know, we had a good chat. You know, we talked about. Obviously, it's great. Well, one of the things I did not know, Mike Modano did not have a pair of skates on before he was 7, 8 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, in today's day, that's kind of out of the norm. You know, I mean, there's a lot of kids that, I mean, they come out of the womb and they got blades on, some of them, you know. And so Mo strapped him on, who's just over 7 years old, and, you know, played for Little Caesars. And then he went and played for former assistant coach Rick Wilson. And so we talked about his career and, you know, the ups and downs. And he was very candid on some things. Talked to him about the, you know, the captain C, and, you know, speaking of Brendan Morrow, and the C was passed on to Brendan. And he was very candid about that. He was very candid about the last year in Dallas here, where he was not offered a contract, and what he's doing with Minnesota Wild. So
did he talk about his like wanting to come back and work for the Dallas Stars?
Well, you know what? I think for Mike, that was a thing that was touchy. You know, it was tough for him, but he's, you know, he's very good friends. Craig Leopold, the owner in Minnesota, is very fond of Mike. They've got a good relationship there. He knows Dean Evanson. He's got a good role with, and it's actually being a little bit expanded for what he was doing.
Good.
And I think, I think for Mike, it's a, you know, listen, I said this about Hall of Fame guys my whole time and on all the great players. There's a reason very few of the Hall of Fame guys that are the best in this game don't get into the other side of the game, get into coaching or scouting or any of that other kind of stuff. Because my opinion is this game came so well, coming from me, it came easy for these guys. They were gifted to play this game. It was fun for them. They didn't have to work to stay in lineups, all this other kind of stuff. You know, they could put in the 2.5 to 3 hours a day and then go home, do their thing. You get into the other side of the business of the game, it's not 3 hours a day. It's 12, 14 hours a day. And I think this is a perfect gig for what Mike's going on. They knock on his door and ask him for input on certain players and, you know, all the other things that are involved with him. He does want to start to travel a little bit more with the team. That's probably because he has 5 kids. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It was a good talk.
That's good. So check out Craig's conversation with Mike Modano. I'll say this, if they can have a Pecorine statue, not to take anything away from the Nashville goaltender, I think they can have a Mike Modano statue.
Listen, we touched on that. I brought up the Novitski Way sign.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think there could be a Modano sign here.
I agree.
On an alley. Like, see, I'd get a name like on a back alley on some dirty, the lights have been shot out, there's garbage cans tipped over. That would be perfect for you. I know.
Lud's Way.
And I could just get my cardboard box and I'd feel right at home.
You the man, Craig. And thanks to everyone for listening to Spits and Suds. Always great to talk Dallas Stars hockey and NHL hockey. And we'll be back tomorrow with Sean Shapiro right here on Spits and Suds. Have a great opening day, everyone.